All right, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all the stand, what do you do? Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the what? Fiery darts of the wicked. Now, underline that one tonight. Try to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Underline the Word of God. All right, now, we're talking on spiritual warfare, and we are in this section now called Weapons of Warfare. Weapons of Warfare. Now, out of that, just give you, I want to talk about the Word. I want to talk about the blood, okay? And talk about the name, the Word, the blood, and the name. Now, there might be some things we're going to cover around there, but we're talking about the Word right now. Talking about the Word. All right, let's kind of build up to this of what we want to talk about. Personally, I believe the church is behind. I believe that we need to catch up. I believe that we're supposed to be much further than we are now, and one of the biggest reasons why we're behind is because of education. I think that there's a knowledge that's lacking. The reason why it is lacking is because, for the most part, the enemy has been fighting the church. But the other thing is that sometimes what happens is we don't move forward, because the only way we can move forward is by faith. And so you just got to take it and accept that people are going to get what you've got, and then take them on to the next place. Are you following what I'm saying? The other thing is that we've kind of shied away from the supernatural, that we've got to have the supernatural as a part of this thing, because they, natural and supernatural, do run together. A lot of times, you know, people go to work and do things like that, but God wants you to add some super to your natural, whatever that is. So we're talking about facing the giants, All right, now, the system of Babylon is a system that Satan has built. And in that system, he wants to make sure that the righteous are not in authority. He wants to make sure of that. And that's found over in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2. And he says about the righteous being in authority. When the righteous are in authority, the people can rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Now, again, I'm not going to try to cover a whole lot. I just want to kind of stay right around this. So what happens is Satan tries to place his people in strategic positions, especially in strategic companies or businesses or governments and so forth. But he wants to place his people there. See, I figured out that Satan doesn't have but so many demons. So he doesn't have an unlimited amount. The Bible says in Hebrews that God has an unlimited number of angels. Innumerable, it calls them. So with this. So now what happens is that God plants his people in companies. And when he plants them there, he plans for them to rise. He plans for them to go up into, you know, a place of influence and so forth. Now, one of the people that we look at is Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 6. And it says in verse 1, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no what? No damage, no loss. And this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Oh, look out. "Then the presidents and princes sought for an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find an occasion of fault, for as much as he was faithful, and neither was there any error of fault found in him." He got to work on time. Amen. Amen. "Then said these men, we shall not find occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning his God." So right there is a conspiracy that they're going to take Daniel out. Now, understand, all leadership is spiritual. All leadership is spiritual. Now, with this, what I mean is, over in 2 Timothy and chapter... Pardon me, I want to correct that. 1 Timothy and chapter 2, he says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for how many men? All men. For kings and for all that are where? In authority, that we might lead a what kind of life? Quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Keep going. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be what? Saved. And to come to the knowledge of the what? Truth." So he wants everybody to be saved. But he said, now you're going to have to pray for those in authority, because there's another spirit vying for their mind. And what we said is that in Ephesians, let me just get how the Bible puts it. It says, glory to God. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, and verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the what? Fiery darts of the wicked." Could I have that scripture in the Amplified, please? Let me just see what it says. "All the fiery darts of the wicked." Glory to God. It says, "Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one." Put it up there. Let's try another one. Put it up there in the Good News Bible. I think they call it Good News here. It says, "In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil." Let's try another one. Let's go to the message translation, please. I'm just trying a couple of translations here just to see if we can land something that even takes us even further. Have it? Praise God. All right, let's go on. I don't see it up there. Okay, let's look at, let's come back to Daniel, please, in Daniel chapter 6. All right? No. Notice Daniel was on the rise. Now, who do you think was behind his rising? God was. Now remember what he says in Psalm chapter 75. It says in Psalm 75, starting at verse 6, "For promotion neither cometh from the east or from the west or from the south, but God is the judge. He'll put down one, and what will he do? He'll put up another. God will do that. Now, God is on your side. And I hope you are on his side. You want to know what he wants to do. Now, so God is raising up. Now, I got to get the righteous and authority, because that's God's plan for the earth, is to have the righteous and authority. Why? Because you and I were made and wired to dominate the earth. You and I were made and wired to dominate the earth. Our purpose for being was to dominate this planet. Your purpose for being is to dominate this planet. So now God is sending you out to dominate, not people, the planet, circumstances, so forth and so on. Now, this, stay with me, this going up against the giants, I call giants anything that is outside of your physical, mental, financial, or social capability. I'll say it again. I call a giant anything that's outside of your own abilities. Glory to God. Come on, William, get this thing down here. That where God is taking you is to face the giants. Now, these giants are more powerful than a natural person. No natural person can stop the devil. Okay. That's why people think, well, if I had enough money, I'd do. Listen, home, if this, you got to understand, this, you, if you have money and don't have Jesus, you are no match for the devil. All right, now, so, glory to God. So now Daniel's being raised up. So now they're coming against Daniel. All right, now, what's inspiring them to come against Daniel? All right, it's a demonic force or input that's trying to get them to keep Daniel from rising. Now, I want to show you something very important. Now, it might not mean a lot to you, but it means a whole lot to me. Because sometimes what we do is we go and we get mad at people. But people are not the problem. People are not the problem. But the problem is ignorance. What the problem is Satan behind all of it. Let's look at a couple of places. First, the New Testament. Let's go to John chapter 44, please. John 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Please stay with me and be happy about it. Okay? Look what Jesus tells them. You are of your father who? The devil. And the what? Lust of your father you will do. Could I have that up there in an Amplified translation? Let's just see if the Amplified gives us another degree of meaning. It said, you are of your father the devil, and it is your will to practice the lust and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. Give me one more in the Good News Bible, and let's try that one more time, please. He says this. It's a message. Okay, that's fine. You finally got that one. Okay. You are from your father, the devil, and all you want to do is please him. Now, what people think is they think it's their own thinking. Am I right about it? Did not Eve eat of the fruit? Did the Bible say that Eve was deceived? If you don't know it, yes, the answer is yes. What does deceived mean? She thought she was right. Paul killing Christians, was he deceived?
Yes.
Did Paul know Scripture?
Yes.
He was raised by the best. So if you have no revelation of what you just read, the devil can take it and deceive you with it. Are you with me? So in Ephesians, which is the book of warfare, chapter 1, verse 16, Paul prays. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what?
Wisdom
and what else? Revelation, what else? In the knowledge of him, that the what? Eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, in verse 4 and 5. Let's look at that one first, and then we'll keep going. My speech and my preaching, this is Paul, was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Next verse. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are what? Perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I'm having a problem with that screen. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have what? See, this, the Holy Ghost, well, let me give you one more. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, please. And look at verse 11 and 12. He said this, but I certify you, brethren, that the God... something's wrong with that screen. It keeps going off and on. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of you is not after man. For neither received... I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Watch this. Now go all the way down to verse 15. But it pleased God, which separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his what? Grace. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with what? So once I get a revelation, I'm not going to check with my mind to see if it's reasonable. Because if I do that, I'll find myself being deceived. Now, as you're going in further into the last days, deception is, I think, on the increase. Because darkness is getting what? It's getting darker. So it's almost getting so you can't believe anything outside the Word of God. And the enemy will try to get you to buy into your feelings because he comes on a level called emotions. And if you buy into it, you'll find yourself making the wrong decision. And there's a lot of people out there ready to cut on you. There's a lot of people out there ready to take your money. There's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of stuff out there. And what you got to do is, wait a minute. What did God say? And I'm telling you, folks, it's getting to the point where we got to go with God. I don't care what people say. I'm going with God. All right? Now, let's go back to Daniel. Because what has happened is that all leadership is spiritual. And that these men are conspiring to keep Daniel from rising. Now, who's the victim in this thing? I'm going to let you take three guesses. The first two don't count. Who is the victim in this? All right, wait a minute. All right, let me show you. I wanted to show you, let's see, because we think Daniel's not the victim. Daniel is cool. Daniel is on his way up. Why? Because he's under God. He's listening to God. All right, look at 2 Kings chapter 22. Now, this is a case where Ahab starts to get together with a man, another king named Jehoshaphat, or 2 Kings chapter, 22, right? Just a minute. I just gave you the wrong Kings. 1 Kings chapter 22, please. All right. Got to correct my notes there. All right. Now, this is when Ahab tried to get together with Jehoshaphat to go up with him to battle. Now, Ahab was a king in Israel. Jehoshaphat was a king in Judah. And it's like one group and the other group. It's like the Pentecostals and the Baptists. No, I shouldn't say that. But it's like. But these are two groups, and normally they were separate because some of them were holding fast to their laws and so forth and so on. Now, so this alliance was not holy. This was an unholy alliance. Now, he's trying to get him to go up with him to battle. So here's what Jehoshaphat said. Jehoshaphat said, what did the prophet say about the battle? Okay. Well, he went in verse 6. All right. And look what he said in verse 6. He said, and the king of Israel gathered the prophets together about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall what? Deliver it unto the hand of the king. How many of them said that? How many of them said, you just read it. 400. So here are 400 prophets prophesying the same thing. Got it? And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Besides, that we might inquire of him. And the king of Israel said now to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, his name is Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he does not prophesy good concerning me, but he always prophesies something bad. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Go send for him. So he called him. All right? So Micaiah comes. I'm going to do it quickly because I got somewhere to go. So Micaiah comes, and when Micaiah comes, he tells him, he said, what did they say? What did the other prophets say? Said, go up. He said, well, why aren't you just going up? Why are you calling me? They said, no, but we want to know what you heard from from God. All right? Now, he begins to prophesy. Look at verse 17. He says this. And he said, I saw all of Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep which have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he wouldn't prophesy any good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on the right hand and on the left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and the other said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and that stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail, go forth and do so. All right. So what I'm saying to you is that these prophets were not really depending and trusting in God, but they were like hirelings. They were there for either their own benefit or wanting to be popular, whatever it is, wanting to be on the good side of the king. And God allowed a lion spirit to come into these prophets. And when he did that, glory to God, they prophesied what they heard. And they did hear something, but they heard a lie. Now, isn't that something? Now, they're prophesying. They're very emotional with it. I can tell. I mean, they went at this thing. No. They thought they were in control. But they had been victimized. Satan played a trick on them. And I'm saying that over in Daniel was hearing God. These other men were the victims because Satan was using them. Yeah, are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying he can use people to dislike you. Say amen. Or use people to get your money. You know, sometimes love is tough. Sometimes love says, I'm not giving you any more money. Oh boy, I see that didn't go over well right there. Now, understand when that happens, you've got to understand Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. Look at this now, Proverbs 18 and 14. Look what it says. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? You got it? Now, what is he saying here? So here are you going to face the giants. But let's say you got some hurt in your life. Your man left you. Now I'm just using that. Or your woman left you. Okay? All right? But there's some hurt, see? And because of the hurt, the spirit is weak. See? And when it comes time to tell your cousin you're not going to loan him any more money, get out of the house. Amen. Can't do it. When it comes time as you as a supervisor to have to fire somebody, you can't do it. Not tough enough. Now, I want you all to hear this. I got this from the Lord, told me to tell you this. That he is strengthening you on the inside with might by his spirit in your inner man. That's Ephesians chapter 3. Why? Because you got to get strong enough to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's there to stop you. And when you're strong inside, you know this man here is not up to no good. I'm not going out with this guy anymore. Well, I better go out with him because it might be my last shot. No. See, now you victim. Come on, you follow what I'm saying. See, I got to do this, and if I don't do this and we don't get together and have some intimacy, maybe he'll leave. Oh, what? That's when he leaves. Can I talk?
Yes.
The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? And God's got to strengthen us on the inside. It's not the outside that needs to be strengthened. It's the inside in that inner man. Because your spirit has got to be strong. Be strong in the what? Lord, and in the power of his what? Might. God is a spirit. And what he strengthens is your spirit. God does not talk to your mind. He talks to your spirit. Then you got to be tough. No, I'm not going to give you any money. You're just going out here and get my money and smoke reefer with it, and I'm not giving you none. Watch this. And go to sleep. This is spiritual warfare I'm talking about, folks. It's that the enemy knows how to strip Christians. He knows how to just strip them out, just make them be condemned and can't come to church, and it feels so bad, and whatever. You took a fine time to leave me, Lucia. Gone. And with it comes your destiny. Because your destiny is wrapped up in your victimization. Well, I'm preaching tonight, man. You saying amen. Can't do it. No, not doing that. Daniel, no. You're going to be threatened with throwing in this furnace, fiery furnace. I don't care. The God that I serve, he's going to deliver me. But not a weak spirit, a spirit that's condemned, a spirit that's guilty, a spirit that's full of shame, a spirit that feels you're inferior to some other man, your spirit and so forth. That's a weak spirit. And it cannot stand against giants. Stay in the wilderness. Because in Canaan is not where you're going to be. Because in Canaan, you must trust in God's ability. And whatever he said about you, because he's about to take you into places that you can't afford. Amen. And you're going to take them. Say amen to that. Amen. And stop trying to look at your potential as where you are right now. That's wherever you are right now, you can do more. Amen. That the potential of God is in you, and you, he is your potential. And greater is he that's where? He's in you. He is your potential. What, the branch is just as strong as a vine. And I'm going to teach that on Sunday. I left a message teaching for you for Sunday. And that's why I'm going into this most critical thinking, critical teaching called vengeance and recompense.
Yes, sir.
Most important. Because to exercise that, you got to understand that God is not mad at anybody. But God is just. And it's a mature teaching. Now, my point to you is when that weak, infirm spirit is there, that's where disease comes, that's where so-and-so comes, so forth, and we can't get it out. But we're going to strengthen ourselves, so we go in and face these giants. I showed you last time. Well, let's just look at this. Can we keep going here? Let's look at the book of Esther. You remember Esther? All right. Book of Esther. And let's look at Esther. Glory to God. Esther chapter, all right, Let's look at Esther. All right, I want you to see something here. Let me look at me, praise God. Esther's mother and dad died, and she was taken in by her uncle Mordecai. Now, Mordecai was strong, and what happened was that Haman, who was an Agite. Now, the Agites are interesting because that's who God told Saul to wipe out. And he saved Agag. How would you like to name your kid Agag? But he saved Agag. All right, that's the whole thing. Let me come back to this. But look at Esther chapter 3 and verse 2. I want you to get a flavor for this. You see, I see now that for us to go in and do what God told us to do in terms of dominating, we're going to have to be strong. Yes. This business of looking at yourself in that natural mirror, and just because your hair is not dead, you think you're not ready. Just because you don't have a PhD or any kind of D, when God chose you, are you with me? When he chose you, he knew what he was doing. Folks, if you got revelation, you can outrun anybody with any kind of D. You get revelation, you will own it. You will have PhDs working for you. Watch. Because it's a higher knowledge. Okay, now I'm not saying you don't get an education. Please don't put that. All right, now, what was I talking about? Esther and Agag. Okay, all right. Okay, so her uncle took her in. Now, look at this verse, because it says, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. For the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Oh, Lord. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, and said to Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they had spake daily unto him, that he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman, to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. Okay? And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of what? Wrath. Okay? Now it looks like Mordecai is about to be the victim here, but he's not. Haman is going to be the victim. Amen. See, you got to get in your mind who the victim is. Because the tendency is to think that, look what they're doing to me. What they're doing to you. If you got some insights, you should be saying, look what's about to happen to him. All right? And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole realm. All right. So he goes to the king. All right. And he goes to the king and he really offers the king some money. He says, King, these people are not respecting your laws. Let me give you money in the treasury. And I'll even pay for this whole thing, this campaign. Let's wipe them all out. And what did the king do? He agreed. Another victim. He agreed. So you got to pray for those in authority, because counsel around them is going to be wicked. See, I got to keep them in prayer. Because the council around them, next thing you know, they get in office and start talking sideways. Y'all never seen John Wayne walk, he walked sideways. But anyway, so as you look at this, now we got a problem here. Because Esther now is in the harem of the king. And the king had his previous queen, which was Vashti, yeah. But somehow she got fired. And so now he's got Esther, all right? Now, here comes Mordecai, and he's heard about the order that was given to kill all the Jews. And the king gave Haman his ring. And that ring, once it's stamped on that law, then what happened is that law goes out throughout the land and it's got to be carried out. But it is an ungodly law. And I'm telling you, ungodly people make ungodly laws because they're victims. The enemy is in their council. All right? Now, so the next thing that happened, I'm almost done. So the next thing that happens is that they make the law, but here comes Esther. She comes into the king's chamber. And she's unannounced. Now, I understand you're not supposed to do that. Because if you do, and the king doesn't point his scepter at you, your head comes off or you get killed or whatever. But in chapter 5, verse 1, now it came to pass on that day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood before in a court, so forth and so on and so on. And then the king said, verse 2, and Esther was standing there. He said, she attained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther his golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near, watch this, and touched the top of the scepter and said to the king, "What will thou, Queen Esther, and what is it thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom." Check it out. Now, what did Esther do? She's smart. She didn't ask for something for herself. She now is going to intercede for the Jews. So she's going to ask for something from them. But I want you to see something. Look at verse chapter 6. Turn, come on down to chapter 6. Because now Haman is getting things ready. He put up a gallows. Y'all know what a gallows is? Where you hang folk. And put it up, watch this, right beside his house. Because who do you think he wants to put on that gallows? Mordecai. And the gallows is 75 feet tall. He's going to make a spectacle out of him. But who's the victim here? He is. I want you to keep that in mind, because when you go up against the giant, you got to understand who the victim is. The victim is not you. I'm saying that because you got to stop crying, they're prejudiced. Yet you ain't the victim. If God be for you, I don't care what they are. What does that got to do with it? All right, now. So Haman, but I want you to show you a verse of scripture that I think is going to change your whole thinking. Look at verse 12 of chapter 6 of Esther. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning, having his head covered. Now, the thing is backing up, O Haman, here. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. Now, wait a minute. Put that verse back up there, the beginning of that verse. All right? I want you to notice something, and this is very, very subtle. Watch this. Then said his wise men. Then said his wise men. Now, you know Haman had some bread. You know what I mean by bread? Money, provision, because he offered thousands of dollars to the king. So he had some money, so he had to be in an elite position. Am I right? And he not only was in that position, but he had what? Wise men. Now, where do I see that? Look at Exodus chapter 7. Now, over in Exodus chapter 7, look what it says here, and starting reading at verse 8. Let's start there. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, watch this, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show me a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before the Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so, and the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh also called for the wise and you see what I'm saying? I'm saying in those top positions, they've got demonic help. Now that is, folks, that is today. That is today. So you can't defeat them without God. You stand no chance. You can't defeat them. No wonder they keep the money. You don't stand a chance. But if you can get God on your side and get the plan of God and the favor of God operating for you, they are the victim. And that's why you're about to see the biggest wealth transfer that's ever hit the face of this planet. And you're about to see it because God's people are about to get revelation knowledge. They have not had it. They didn't take time and read those kind of scriptures. Haman couldn't do that kind of plotting without a demonic force talking to him. All leadership is what? Spiritual. And if you treat all sickness spiritual, you'll get out of it. It's all spiritual. You cut the root in the spirit to anything, the physical will dry up because it needs the spirit part to hold it. Haman couldn't do that without the sorcerers, without the spirits, without the wise men counseling him. Now you follow what I'm saying. And I'm saying, wait a second, hold on here. He's got some help. So there's a spiritual assistance given to the Gentiles. Why? To defeat you. They don't want you to get there. They don't want you to have the money. Now, I'm not asking you to get mad at people because people are not your problem. The problem is the enemy behind it. But we're going to take control of that because we are here to dominate this planet. And God wouldn't have called you if you weren't able to do that. Say amen to that. Amen. So I'm saying we're not blaming people, but so forth. So what did Haman do? Haman now, she, Esther calls a banquet, had the king there and said, king, they're trying to put out an order to kill all the people, of which I'm one of them. And king, I would, if you want, if the request that I have is that order be rescinded. And he said, well, who made that order? He said, well, Haman did it. So the king walks out for a while. Take a little swig here. The king walks out for a while. Then Haman pleads with her, help me, Esther. And Esther just kind of looked at him because he's a victim. And so what happens? The king walks back. By the time the king walks back, Haman's so pleading with Esther till now he's laying on the bed with her, pleading with her. Well, the king thought, wait a minute, this man gonna be all up on my woman? Now, I'm putting that in Winston's term. Gonna be all up on my woman like that? Hang him. And what did they do? Look what it said over in this is amazing how this I get up here in front of y'all and can't find these scriptures. They hung him, praise God. That's amazing. I had the scripture. Where? Seven what? Chapter 7, verse 8 or 9. Okay, I see it here. I thought it was the end of the chapter for some reason. Okay. All right. Okay. Wait, chapter 7, verse... Oh, I got chapter 8. Okay. Now, wait a minute here. Well, whatever it is, they hung it. Y'all with that? Now, not only did they hang him, but they took his entire estate and gave it to Esther. So you're about to be too expensive to deal with. And I'm telling you, that's part of how the wealth is going to be transferred, through vengeance and recompense. Are you with me? Now, what do you have to do in that situation? You've got to stand. You've got to not take on a victim attitude, because you're not a victim. You are the victor. You are the one that's going to come out on top. But be strong in the who? Lord, and in the power of, come on, his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's all Esther had to do. You don't even need to lose your composure. Start, you know, making all kinds of faces and all that. Practice that sometime with your husband or with your wife. Just practice it at home. Practice not getting emotional. You know, I came home the other night and saw all this on the house. I said, no, what is this? Now, I said, now I can do one of two things. I can go in this house and go off. Or the gentleness can make me great. So I'll go in here. So I didn't say anything for a while. Are y'all following me? So I waited almost a day. That's good for me. I'm known to immediately react, but I'm working on something. I'm getting promoted. All right. Now, what am I telling you? I'm saying to you right now, we're in a war. God is taking you to giants now. That means big stuff is about to be transferred. And so you can read the rest of Esther. I think it's a wonderful book. And so forth. But women, you can read that thing. And you can see that even when the king took her in, nobody could molest her. And I'm telling you, you can be in a place where nobody can touch you without your permission. Say amen to that. That's all I have. Give the Lord a praise. I just took a long time. Woo! Amen! Sometimes you got to just slow down and take these things. So the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty through who? God. To the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Casting down of what? Imagination. And every high thing that what? exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when that thing comes, you go back to the Word of God, say, hey, what did the Word of God say about this? Doesn't make any difference what it is. Now I'm going to receive from God. I'm going to receive the Word of God and so forth. The enemy does not know what God's going to do. He does not know it, see? And what happens is he's waiting on you to tell him. Who is it? Charles Capps, before he went on to be with the Lord, he said, sometimes we give the devil too much information. Are you follow what I'm saying? This guy that time got held up. And he, you know, he thought that the two guys that held him up weren't listening, thought they were talking. And he said, Lord, don't let this man find this money in my shoe. And they came and took everything he had. See, he talks too much. Say amen to that. This one man who was out there in the jungle, he was hunting, lion hunting, I guess. And what happened was the lion jumped out of nowhere, and the man dropped his weapon, and the man said, Lord, let this be a Christian lion. And he overheard the lion say this, Lord, blessed be to my body what I'm about to receive. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying it's promotion time. And the Bible says promotion for you doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from God. And it says God is a judge. Why is he the judge? Because he alone determines who wins or who loses, not your opponent. Say amen. Now, who is your opponent? It's nothing but a dissenting voice that is dissenting against the truth that you speak. So you got to continue to speak the truth no matter what it looks like. Why? Because God is wanting you to have dominion over this entire planet. Isn't that good? If you're here and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, I want to pray for you right now. Anybody right now, you know in your life that you're not right with him, but you want to be right with him. I'm saying to you right now, you need to get on the right side to hear the right voice so you can go to the right place. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me, I need that prayer. I need to be born again. And that was me.